love history, and there's certain things that, I don't know why, there's certain things that people say, there's certain stories that stick out, there's things that, I think the reason I love history so much is you hear the things of the sacrifice, and you hear the qualities of people come out, and there's nothing more encouraging than when you can read a story or read about someone who, in history, made a great sacrifice because of their faith, because of their convictions, because of what they believed in. And sometimes it's even merely reading what people said. Sometimes the words that were said previously had impact hundreds of years ago, still have impact today when you read them. And I was reading a couple weeks ago some excerpts from a speech that Teddy Roosevelt gave. And Teddy Roosevelt was the youngest president in the United States at the time he became the president in 1901. And it was very shortly after he became president, he gave a speech called Citizenship in a Republic. And it was basically a speech about, you know, from his perspective, what he thought was the responsibilities, the rights, the role, and the responsibilities of citizens of the United States. And I want to read this one excerpt to you. But before I do that, I want to read this from Ephesians. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 19, this is the way it says it in the Amplified Bible. Therefore, you are no longer outsiders, exiles, migrants, and aliens, excluded from the right of citizens. But now, you now share citizenship with the saints, God's own people, consecrated, set apart for Him, and you belong to God's own household. Those are beautiful words. This tells us that we are citizens, not of this world, but that our citizenship is in heaven. We live our lives always with the thoughts and always thinking, first and foremost, about our lives in this world. And we think about things from the perspective of this world, and we think about things, you know, from our rights, our roles, our responsibilities in our daily life. We think of it in terms of our citizenship. We take pride in the fact that we're citizens of the United States. You know, we know that if we go to different countries, there are rights and privileges that we have that most other nations don't have. You can look at the United States and you can perhaps be unhappy with the direction that we're in, but when it comes right down to it, still, you have more rights and more privileges as a citizen of the United States than almost any country in the history of mankind. So we take great pride in the fact that we're citizens of the United States. But what we should take even greater pride in is that we're citizens of heaven. And you know, the Bible tells us that we are just here. We're passing through this life. This is not our home. This is not where we stay. We're just passing through. So it's helpful for us to see ourselves beyond the citizenship of a member of the United States of America, and to see ourselves as, more importantly, citizens of heaven, citizens of the heavenly realm, citizens in heaven. That's where a citizenship truly is. So if we can look at ourselves from the perspective of being citizens of heaven, we're just passing through here. We're not citizens. It's not a long time that we're here. Life is very brief here on this earth. Our citizenship, because of our relationship through Jesus Christ and because of what Jesus Christ did for us, our citizenship is in heaven. Now, if I can see myself as a citizen of heaven and I can listen to these words that Teddy Roosevelt spoke, so he's speaking about citizenship. Well, if we can take those words and think about them from the perspective of beyond, he's talking about citizens in the United States. But let's listen to these words and think about it as being a citizen of heaven. So Teddy Roosevelt from Citizenship in the Republic. He says, it is not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles or where the doer of deeds could have done better. The credit belongs to the man who's actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs and comes up short again and again because there's no effort without error or shortcoming, but who knows the great enthusiasms, the great devotions, who spends himself for a worthy cause, who at the best knows in the end the triumph of high achievement, and who at the worst, if he fails, at least he fails while daring greatly, so that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who knew neither victory nor defeat. Well, I love those words. And again, Teddy Roosevelt was talking about citizenship in a secular, in a human kind of perspective. But we can take all of those words and remember what we just read from Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 19. And knowing that we are foreigners, we're strangers, we're aliens and strangers here in this world, but we are citizens of heaven. Our citizenship is in heaven. We are counted as citizens along with the saints of God. You know, we can read the things that Teddy Roosevelt said, and we can really see ourselves as a culture, as a Christian culture even, here in this country, and we can see ourselves. It is easy for us to look at someone else, to look at other believers, to look at other people that, well, let's put it this way. I bet it's very easy for you to turn on the television and watch TV, Christian TV programming, and probably it's very easy for you to find people that you like and people that you don't like, and it's easy to find ways to criticize those that you don't like, something about whatever it is that they're doing, how they say it, how they present it. Probably if you live, if you're listening to us in Lima, if you're listening to us in Wauseon, if you're listening to us in Toledo or Fremont, there's probably churches in your area that you don't really care for. And you're probably find it very easy to be openly critical to others about how they do church or how they do things. As Roosevelt was talking about being a citizen of the United States, and as we think about ourselves as citizens of heaven, these are good words that we should remember. It's not the critic who counts. It's easy for any one of us to sit and to criticize somebody else for what they're doing, but I'll tell you what. Oftentimes, and almost most often, the people that we're criticizing are in the arena and they're doing the work. They're at least out there doing the work. The only reason that we can think to criticize them is because they're doing the work. We're just being critical of how they're doing the work. Roosevelt said, it's not the critic who counts. That person doesn't count. If I'm just sitting and criticizing others who are in the arena, getting dirty, having their faces marred by dust because they're in the arena, they're doing the work. If they're getting bloodied because they're in the arena, easy for me to sit and just criticize them. But they're out there doing the work. Almost always, the people that we criticize, we can criticize them because they're doing the work. We're criticizing them for the work that they're doing. But they're doing the work. How often are we criticizing somebody else for doing the work when we're not even in the arena? We're not even involved. We're not even engaged. We're not advancing the kingdom of God. We're not being used the way God wants us to be. We're sitting and letting our lives just kind of drift through. It's not the critic who counts, nor the man who points out how the strong man stumbles or where the doer of deeds could have done better. Easy for us to say that somebody else could have done better, but you know what? They're out there doing it. Rather than looking at someone else and saying how they should have done it better, I should be out there doing the things that God has called me to do. And every one of us, you may not have a microphone for a radio station in front of you, and maybe you don't have a pulpit on Sundays, but there are still powerful, powerful ways that God has called you to advance the kingdom, that He created you uniquely for, to advance the kingdom, plans that He has for your life beyond just living through the days of this life. And each one of us needs to be about our job, about our work, about our doing the things that God has prepared, called us to do. Roosevelt goes on to say the credit belongs to the man who's in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood. We need to be those people. It doesn't matter if you've had no training at seminary or with Christian classes. It doesn't matter. You are qualified because of who you are in Jesus Christ to do what Jesus Christ has called you and prepared you to do. Look, you can look at one of the greatest examples in the 20th century of somebody who represented the sacrifice and the love for others and the putting others before self. Mother Teresa, I don't believe that she had pretty humble beginnings. I don't think she went to seminary. I don't think she was taught by the world. In fact, if she was taught by the world, she probably wouldn't have had the heart that she had to touch the lives of those who were poor, who were destitute, who were sick, who were ill, who needed a touch of Jesus Christ. I'm sure that Mother Teresa probably didn't look when she started her ministry and think, I'm going to have worldwide fame. And it's not that we do our service so that people notice or that we have fame for it. We do our service in the small things and in the great things because Christ called us to do it. Today, I guarantee you, today you'll have opportunities to be in the arena. God prepared this day for you. I guarantee you there are opportunities for you to be in the arena, to do the things that Christ has called you to do. No, maybe it doesn't mean that you get behind a camera on television. But there's going to be an opportunity for you to share the good news, for you to share the truth of Jesus Christ, for you to encourage someone else, for you to stand there, put your hands on them and pray for them because they're hurting, because they're sick, because they need a touch of Jesus Christ. There's going to be someone that God has already given you a word today. If you've spent time in the Word, He's given you a word. There's going to be an opportunity for you to be in the arena today to give that word to somebody else, to encourage them and strengthen them. I promise you that today, this is the day God has made. He's created it for you, for me, for each one of us. He's created the day with a plan for us, a plan for us. There's an opportunity for you today to step into the arena and be a doer. Be one who is doing what God called him to do or her to do. Whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood. Who strives valiantly. I love this. It's the one who spends himself for a worthy cause. We should be spending ourselves for Jesus Christ. We should be spending ourselves for others, so that others are touched, others know the love that Jesus Christ has for them. We should be spending ourselves to advance and to accomplish the things that Christ has planned for each one of us individually. Spending ourselves for those purposes today, more so than spending ourselves. Don't get me wrong about what I'm going to say. I'm not saying that you should quit your job. But there should be more priority, more concern, more excitement, more zeal put forth in my spending myself for the things of Jesus Christ than spending myself throughout the day on whether it's the things I do at work or watching TV or, you know, even for good things like, you know, going to see my kids play soccer, you know, whatever the case might be. Those things are all great, but we should be spending ourselves. You know, and in all those areas, you can spend yourself. In every one of those areas, you can spend yourself for Christ rather than spending yourself just on the human things that we do, just on the circumstances that every day tends to bring with it. We need to know the great enthusiasms, the valiant. I love these words that he uses, valiant, enthusiasm, devotion, all of these things towards spending ourselves for Jesus Christ. You know, at the end of my life, I don't want to look back and realize that I spent myself on things that all burned, all had no meaning, had no significance, meant nothing, was burned up, just natural things. I want to know that I spent the days of my life, that my life was spent, I was spent on the things of Jesus Christ, doing the things of Jesus Christ. And I love the final words that he gives. In his last line of this little excerpt, what Roosevelt said, at least, he said, if he fails, at least he fails while daring greatly, so that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who knew neither victory nor defeat. It's the people who are not in the arena that know neither victory or defeat. You want to talk about being a zombie? Everybody's all into zombies now. You want to talk about being a zombie? We can be spiritual zombies because we know nothing. We are nothing. There's no zeal. There's no depression. It's just like we're nothing. There's no victory. There's no defeat. We need to put ourselves out. We need to extend ourselves. We need to stir up the energy inside ourselves to be valiant, to give ourselves valiantly with great enthusiasms and with devotion so that we are never listed amongst those who are called the timid and cold souls who never know victory nor defeat. Because you know what? Even when, in the world's eyes, I've experienced defeat and setbacks, and there will be setbacks in the world because this is the nature of the world we live in, but I don't have to accept those setbacks as the final decision, as the final ending of whatever that matter might be. That's not the ending point. That's when you get back up and you move forward until you obtain that victory that is yours in Jesus Christ. Now, when you know failure, when you know defeat, you can then know victory also. We need to know victories, but we need to know defeats so we can rise up from those defeats and still find the victory in Jesus Christ. This is where the zeal and the excitement comes from. This is where the fulfillment comes from. This is in the knowing of Jesus Christ. I don't want to be listed as a timid and cold soul who didn't know the victories of Jesus Christ. I want to be one that is in the arena. How about you? Ephesians tells us that we are citizens not of this world, but we are citizens of heaven. This is where your citizenship is. And in reading that excerpt from Teddy Roosevelt, that's a great excerpt on what citizenship is about. And if we apply those words to our citizenship in heaven, it should give us just an excitement, a zeal, a knowledge that it's too easy for us to sit back and criticize others. It's not the critic who counts. It's the one who's in the arena. Let's make sure that today we're in the arena, because God's going to provide opportunities for you today to be in the arena. Am I prepared for it? Am I ready for it? Let's go get in the arena. Let's get ourselves, our face dirty. Let's get dirty. Let's get our faces marred by the dust. Let's get a little sweat, a little blood. Let's go out there and fight the good fight. And walk in those victories. Let's get ourselves in the arena.